From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns brings a message entitled, The Filling of the Spirit, part of an extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The text is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where the Apostle Paul writes, And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns points out two lines of teaching regarding this subject as it is treated by the Bible. There is a sudden empowering of the Spirit for a particular act of service. Then there is the consistent fullness of the Spirit which is to be manifested in the day-to-day living of God's people. It is this second emphasis which will form the focus of this message. Before coming to the Word of God, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, Is there a contradiction between the imprecatory prayers in the Psalms and Christ's command to love your enemies? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Imprecatory prayers. My, how many people that one has got steamed up and has tripped them up. And so many people, especially liberals, want to make the existence of imprecatory prayers in the Old Testament a reason to make the Old Testament inferior morally to the New, and say that they have no place whatsoever in the life of the church. They have no place in the life of most churches, because most churches have little or no life in them, for a start, spiritual life and spiritual knowledge. Imprecatory prayers are, first of all, remember, given by divine inspiration to men who were by appointment prophets of God. They had therefore a prophetic content, so that they were not merely outbursts of personal venom or personal desire, but were actually statements of the will of God declaring what would happen to the people against whom they were directed. Now, how do we reconcile that with the New Testament command to love your enemies? Very, very simply. It is always wrong. It was always wrong, Old Testament or New, to direct imprecatory, vengeful thoughts or prayers against our enemies. But that's not what imprecatory prayers are all about. The psalmist David said, Have I not hated them, that is, God's enemies, with a perfect hatred? Now, it's one thing for me to love my enemies. It's quite another thing to love God's enemies. And in this connection, it's not just talking about sinners in general. It's talking about those who have become willing tools of Satan for the destruction of God's work and God's name and God's glory. David could hate those people, not his enemies, but God's enemies, and he could hate them with a perfect hatred. Now, against God's enemies, imprecations were in order. Against personal enemies, they were not. Does that have any place in the church today? Well, we've got to be careful about identifying God's enemies. And we've got to be careful never to assume that because somebody has made himself an enemy of us, that therefore he must be in that category of being God's enemy. Those are things we've got to be careful about. But when we're dealing with apostates, is it wrong to pray that God will judge them and deal with them? No, it's not. Did you ever read Matthew chapter 23? The words of the Lord Jesus? When he pronounced his woes upon the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites? Were those not equivalent to mighty imprecations straight from the lips of him whose name is love? When we're dealing with vicious apostates who are determined to overthrow the cause of God, of grace, and of truth, then it is in order to pray that God will overthrow them, even as the psalmist prayed that he would overthrow God's enemies in his day.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
I want us to turn to the very famous words of Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, the 18th verse. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The New Testament scriptures go to great lengths to emphasize the fact that there is great fullness in the Christian life. As you read your New Testament, you will discover that there is no good or valid reason why a child of God should be living an empty or frustrated or powerless spiritual life. Rather, it is God's will, very clearly set forth here, that the people of God should live lives that are pulsating with the power of vital godliness. This revealed will of God can be seen from cover to cover in Scripture, as God's people are depicted here. They are set forth as a people who enjoy the fullness of Christ. Back in the Old Testament Scriptures, when the Lord led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and toward the land of promise, He gave them a description of the land to which He had called them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 to 9, He says, "The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." And he goes on to talk about them eating, and their heart being full. Now, when God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, it was not with the purpose that they should live forever in a wilderness. It was not that they should go into an inferior experience than they had had in Egypt's bondage. It was rather that He should bring them into a land in which they would be satisfied to the full. A land in which they would enjoy the rich provision of their God. It was never God's purpose in bringing Israel out of Egypt that they should live in some condition of perpetual defeat, perpetual frustration, and that galling emptiness that so many people, even professing the name of Christ, continually experience. The New Testament parallel is very, very clear. We have been redeemed out of Egypt's bondage, out of what the Scriptures call the iron furnace. We have been brought out of that awful grip of sin into the liberty of the sons of God. Redeemed by precious blood, we are brought out of the land of condemnation, the land of satanic oppression, and we are brought into a new land. A land that veritably flows with milk and with honey. The land of spiritual fullness. And it is never the will of God that people redeemed out of the land of bondage should fail to enjoy all the richness, all the fullness, all the fatness of the land of saving grace. And therefore, when we turn through the New Testament Scriptures, we find that the Bible speaks of fullness in the Christian life in various ways. For instance, it speaks of the fullness of our position in Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 10 is a most significant verse. Verse 9, as those of you who heard Mr. McClellan preach when he was down here, is one of the deepest verses in Scripture. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ, all the communicated fullness of God dwells. Now verse 10 says, "And ye are complete in Him." That's a wonderful statement. And I have no doubt it gets to the heart of the verse. But unfortunately, it obscures the full play on the words that Paul was making. He says, "In Him dwells all the fullness, and ye are full," or filled, full in Him. A word that's very, very similar, just a verbal form of the word that he used when he says, "In Christ dwells fullness." So you are filled full in Him. And he goes on to explain what he means by that. When a man is in Christ, he is vitally one with Christ. And in union with Jesus Christ, he has the fullness of God's salvation. God's salvation is not an inferior little blessing. God's salvation is not getting a new dimension to an old life that so many people would paint it as today. God's salvation is bringing a sinner out of darkness into light, out of death into life, out of condemnation into justification, out of pollution into purity, from a child of wrath to a child of God. It changes everything about that man legally, morally, personally, spiritually, and eternally. We are filled full in Jesus Christ. It does God's people good to take their Bible and dwell much on the position they have in Christ. Not until you get a grasp of that will you ever get a grasp of anything as you should in spiritual experience. But there's another fullness. Hebrews 10:22 speaks of the fullness of our persuasion of that position in Christ. For it speaks of our full assurance of faith. There is a full assurance. There is that mighty witness of the Holy Spirit of God within the heart of the believer, whereby he overwhelms him. Not with evidences of his conversion. Oh, he does give those, but that's not what would give full assurance. He does not overwhelm him with evidences merely of his conversion. He just overwhelms him with Christ and persuades him that he is in Christ. A man does not understand how the sun shines and how its rays bring such sweetness, life, and light into his soul. But he enjoys the sun and its sunlight nonetheless. When the Holy Spirit of God beams fullness of assurance in a man's heart, thank God he may not understand the deep theology of how the Spirit of God does it, but he knows that he does it. There is a fullness of assurance, and it's a million miles away from the carnal presumption that so many empty professors of religion make. Oh, I made a decision. I'm safe for all eternity. And they live like the devil, and unless they get saved, they'll live with the devil for eternity. But when a man gets saved, God's Spirit bears witness, and he has life, eternal life, security, and eternal security, and he knows it. And there's no joy to compare with the joy that the Spirit gives when he shows you Christ as your Savior. There's a fullness of assurance. And then there is a fullness of power to practice the fullness that we have in Christ, to live up to that fullness. Now, this fullness of power is really the fullness of the Spirit of God. I have pondered long and hard about how best to deal with the fullness of the Spirit of God in these messages. It's very difficult just because it's such a vast, vast subject. As I read the Bible, I find, it took me a long time to come to the understanding of this, but I find that there are two very distinct lines of thought about the fullness of the Spirit. Now, they are closely related lines of thought, but nonetheless, they are distinct. When I got down to a close analysis of the New Testament, I found that there were texts of Scripture in which there is an emphasis upon a sudden, single, or better, self-contained act of the Spirit of God as he filled Christians, usually with power and boldness, in a critical situation for the service of the Lord. I am not going into detail on those verses today. I will in due course. But there are scriptures. You'll find them. Acts 2 and 4 is one of them. And again in Acts 4:31. You'll find that the construction of the language is that the Spirit of God came suddenly in a critical moment, in a single self-contained act, and He filled people, giving them boldness and power to do the work of God that was to hand. Now there's that line of study through the Scriptures on the fullness of the Spirit. But then there's a completely different, though very closely related, line through the Scriptures. Because there are various Scriptures which emphasize that there is a constant condition of Christians living consistently full of the Spirit of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.